As anti-government protests spread in North Africa and the Middle East, so does government concern in Beijing.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. From APM, American Public Media in New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. The violence continues today in Libya. The protests continue today in Bahrain and in Yemen. And there are calls for protests now in China. A small movement there is asking people to show up at rallies in a dozen cities this Sunday for the second week in a row. And the government, well, it's turning to the internet for help. Marketplace's China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joins us now from Shanghai with more. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Jeremy.
So I assume the government in Beijing would rather the Libyan situation not be the talk of the town.
Definitely not. And the government is doing what it usually does when it feels threatened like this. And it's blocking certain search terms related to the unrest in the Middle East. It does this by relying on companies that operate search engines to police their own sites. But it also is able to unilaterally shut down your server connection if you enter a search term that is particularly sensitive. And that's what we've seen here with the term Jasmine Revolution, which refers to the protests spreading throughout the Middle East.
All right, Rob, well, show us what you mean. Google the term Jasmine Revolution.
Okay, so here I am. I'm typing Jasmine Revolution in Chinese, and here's what pops up on my screen. The connection is reset. The site is temporarily unavailable. So that's an error message, and this is usually what pops up whenever you enter a search term that China's government doesn't want you to know more about. So the dangerous term this week happens to be Jasmine Revolution. Even the single word Jasmine has been blocked on Google. It's kind of funny because Jasmine is the name of a popular folk song in China. In fact, Chinese President Hu Jintao is a big fan of this song, and there's a video of him singing this song on many Chinese sites. So it turns out that even President Hu is being blocked in this latest campaign from his own central propaganda department.
Oh, the negative side effects of blocking search terms. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz joining us from Shanghai. Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, while we're talking search engines, Google is now, in part, an energy company. The company's venture capital arm is touting a $20 million investment in a next-generation energy efficiency firm. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Scott Tong reports.
In Silicon Valley yesterday, Google declared the future is not in silicon, at least not in energy conversion. Our lives are full of conversions, from AC power to DC and back, say when you plug in your laptop. Those waste a lot of energy in the form of heat. But the startup backed by Google claims it can cut 90% of that waste by using a material called gallium nitride instead of silicon. Google Ventures' Bill Maris says these efficiencies can make products smaller. Take my audio recorder's power plug.
This brick that I'm holding that is powering your microphone will disappear eventually. And you won't find yourself, like I do often in a hotel, scrambling for, I forgot my converter.
The new company is called Transform. Legendary venture capital firm Kleiner Perkins is also investing. The firm's Randy Commissar says the public cares about energy security, creating opportunities for investment.
If you don't have that, you'll find that private capital flees to easier things like social networking.
Transform claims its technology could one day save enough energy to power the whole West Coast. In Silicon Valley, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down again this morning in overseas trading, but oil prices are up. In New York trading, the price of a barrel of oil hit $100 for the first time in 2.5 years yesterday. Gasoline prices are following suit. The average is now $3.20 a gallon in the United States. That's the highest level ever for February. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 107 points to close at 12,105.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Constant Contact, helping small businesses and nonprofits make sense of social media. You can learn more at constantcontact.com/social media. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The battle over union rights continues in Wisconsin as that state's Republican governor moves ahead with his plan to tackle the state's budget deficit. In Ohio, a similar plan to strip public workers of their collective bargaining rights is being scaled back a bit. For more on the budget battles going on in state houses and in Washington, let's bring in our economics correspondent, Chris Farrell. Hi, Chris.
Hey, Jeremy.
So obviously unions have become the big story in Wisconsin, but as states across the country look at their budgets, what other things are they focusing on?
Look, Jeremy, there's really one story when it comes to state budgets, and that story is health care, specifically the Medicaid program. And this is the joint federal-state program, and it's health care for the poor, the elderly, the vulnerable.
And what are states doing to tackle that?
Well, states are having to tackle. Let me just give you one number. I think this really encapsulates the whole story. So you go back a quarter century ago. States spent 50% more on higher education than on Medicaid. Today, they spend 50% more on Medicaid than higher education.
Wow.
And that budget keeps growing and growing and growing. So they're having to do things like make cuts and also trying to reduce their spending or their funding.
And what are they doing?
Well, let's take, for example, Arizona. Arizona has decided, or they proposed, eliminating Medicaid coverage for 280,000 people. Then you look at California, which is leaning toward, rather than just sort of cutting people, it's sort of leaning more toward a solution where it's saying, you know, we're just not going to pay as much. We're just going to cut the funding. And a lot of the cuts are going toward the elderly, the vulnerable with long-term care. So governors are being forced to make really tough decisions.
And not just governors. This is an issue in Washington with the federal budget as well.
You know, we're really worried about these budget deficits. We're talking about these budget deficits in the news. But really, whether it's on the federal level or the state level, we don't have a budget deficit problem. We have a long-term health care problem. So federal level, state level, it's health care, health care, health care.
And Chris, does the Obama health care law that was passed last year, is that going to be part of the solution to this problem?
It's part of the solution, but boy, it's a very small step. We need to revisit this whole area again and again.
Yippee! Marketplace economics correspondent Chris Farrell, thanks for your time this morning.
Thanks a lot.
And finally, to New Mexico, a state with a $450 million deficit and a brand new spaceport. Taxpayers in the state have pumped more than $100 million into the project, which is supposed to make New Mexico the hub for space tourism. But according to the New York Times, the state's budget woes are causing some to rethink the public investments. I wonder if they'll start taxing their famous UFO population to make up the funds. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
Don't look now, but China has just passed the United States as the top international consumer of Bordeaux wine.
As they become richer, they demand greater energy, greater amount of commodities, and wine as well.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Fine wine and crude oil have more in common than you might think. That story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.